Talking Apes, a podcast by Voiceless, the Animal Protection Institute. Welcome to the first episode of Talking Apes, the Animal Protection Education Series by Voiceless. Today, we're talking about dolphins held captive in marine parks, research facilities and aquariums around the world. Right now, there are at least 2,000 dolphins being held in captivity in approximately 63 countries. Dolphins are highly intelligent and social marine mammals. In the wild, they cover large distances every day with their social groups known as pods. Their natural ocean home is a diverse, abundant and colourful environment with plenty of space for dolphins to surf and dive and things for dolphins to see, play with, eat and enjoy. However, in captivity, dolphins are kept in man-made pools and tanks with limited enrichment and limited opportunities for social interaction. Some people argue that holding dolphins in captivity is ethically justifiable because it doesn't have a significant impact on their welfare when they're cared for, at least in the sense that they're guaranteed food and provided with medical care. But some animal protection advocates argue that living in artificial environments can cause stress and reduced lifespans, and it lacks the natural enrichment of the ocean environment. Today, we'll be hearing about captivity from a range of experts, scientists, and animal protection advocates. First up, we spoke to Craig Brokenshaw about his experience of witnessing dolphins held in captivity. Craig is a surfer, so he's used to seeing dolphins out in the ocean, where they travel over 60 kilometres every day. But on a surfing trip to Indonesia, Craig stumbled upon something that made him start an ongoing fight for the rights of dolphins to live in their natural habitat.
I was over in Bali for a work trip. It was really fun, good waves, and I was just surfing down the beach a bit, and I heard these whistles, and I was like, what's the whistling? Are they practicing soccer, or what are they doing up there on the sand dune? And every time there was a whistle, I looked back, and you could see dolphins jumping. So I could see dolphins while surfing, and they can see the ocean, but they were like, I was like, well, what are they in? Like, so I got out the surf, and then walked up the sand dune, and had a look, and then I was just like stunned. There was just this tiny resort pool with like four dolphins in it. When you're surfing, you'll see dolphins coming from kilometres away down the beach, and within minutes they'll be like surfing with you, and then they'll just disappear. They can cover so much distance in so little time.
Craig was shocked by the comparison, so when he got back to Sydney, he started a petition calling for a change to Indonesian laws around dolphin captivity. Before long, the petition had almost 500,000 signatures.
Besides the dolphins being in such a small area, it's also chlorinated. So they've got burns to their eyes and they like can't see. And also they've ripped their teeth out, which would have been horrific. And because they use sonar as well, they'd just be pinging off the walls of the resort pool, like back and forth. They'd be doing their head in there. It'd be so bad.
Craig is talking about the special ability that dolphins have called echolocation. This is when they send out sound waves to bounce off objects to help them understand their environment and find food. But in a captive human environment with limited space, like tanks or pools, this type of communication might be affected, as is their ability to swim the distances they usually would in the ocean. There's disagreement about whether all dolphins actually suffer from trying to use echolocation in captivity. We spoke with Professor Rob Harcourt, who is a professor of marine ecology at Macquarie University, where he runs the Marine Predator Research Group.
Most species of dolphins apply echolocation at particular times when they're hunting and foraging. So they turn up when they're looking for food, and they turn off when they're not. So they have to, it's energetically costly, and they have to produce these very high-pitched, repetitive beats, you know, very high frequency. So if you put a dolphin in a small concrete tank and it uses echolocation to try and determine where it is, then it'll get lots of echoes and it probably will function really poorly. It's the same as if you put a bat into a small room, but the bat won't fly into the walls and for the most part won't swim into the sides of the tank. Or if it's something like a common dolphin or another animal that's never experienced a hard substrate, if you're a pelagic dolphin, you're living in three-dimensional environment all the time, then it could be a major problem, and they have swum into the sides of pools until they've died.
Rob also explained that bottlenose dolphins may be more suited to captivity than other species of marine mammals, provided that their living conditions are managed appropriately and that they're provided with environmental enrichment. By contrast, a commonly heard argument is that captive environments cause a great deal of stress, enough to impact a dolphin's appetite, social structures and susceptibility to disease. We spoke to Jordan Snozowski about why dolphins are still kept in captivity. Jordan is an Australian animal lawyer an associate fellow at the Oxford Centre for Animal Ethics, and currently works as the Advocacy Director for Action for Dolphins, a charity that works to protect dolphins from cruelty, focusing on hunting and captivity.
One reason why dolphin captivity is so popular is because people just want to be close to them. And unfortunately, they don't realise that by being close to them and seeing them in captivity or swimming with them in pools, they're actually inadvertently contributing to their suffering.
Although most captive dolphins have been bred in captivity, some are caught from the wild. The methods of capture are stressful, often harmful, and sometimes lethal, with research suggesting that mortality rates can increase sixfold after capture. The most well-known dolphin capture in the world occurs in Taiji in Japan, where fishermen use boats and noise to drive dolphins into shallow netted water. These dolphins are either killed for their meat or sold into captivity in countries around the world, such as China and the USA. We asked Jordan about the link between the issue of wild dolphin hunting and captivity.
I guess dolphin captivity is kind of one of those issues that a lot of different things feed into. So even the issue of dolphin hunting, which maybe people don't know about, and that's where dolphins get captured from the wild in terrible hunts, and they're primarily captured for the aquarium industry. So all of these kind of many issues that are actually facing dolphins are kind of linked to dolphin captivity, and that's a big part of why we've chosen to focus on it, because we want people to understand that when they see dolphins in marine parks, often around the world, those dolphins, didn't just get there by magic. They've been torn out of the wild in horrific hunts and taken away and separated from their families and undergone a huge amount of stress to actually get there. So, even though they may look like they're very happy and smiling in captivity, they're not.
Although wild capture of dolphins for captivity is a significant issue internationally, in Australia, the majority of captive dolphins were bred in captivity and they've never lived in the wild. For these dolphins, returning to the wild could be dangerous, as they may not have the knowledge or skills to survive, as Rob Harcourt says.
I'm not a fan of catching dolphins to put them into captivity, but I do think it very important that people understand that we have a lot of dolphins in captivity already, and releasing them is not an appropriate thing to do, because they'll almost certainly starve or die or hang around and get into trouble at begging for food, which is what has happened in the past. The crucial thing is that we don't want to throw animals back into the wild. We tried that and it didn't work. I'd rather see an animal happy and looked after well with proper veterinary care and good husbandry and good environmental enrichment than have it swimming around starving in the wild.
So a number of people are trying to create sea sanctuaries for dolphins and whales released from pools and tanks so that they can live out their lives in a more natural environment. Sea sanctuaries are essentially ocean pens with natural seawater and no hard walls or ceilings. Action for Dolphins have recently announced plans to look into the possibility of creating the world's first sea sanctuary for a group of captive dolphins in Australia. We asked Jordan whether a sea sanctuary is the ideal option for these animals.
It is. A sea sanctuary really is the most humane home that we can have for these animals, because they can't be released back into the ocean. I wish that they could be fully released, but unfortunately, because they've been in captivity for such a long time, it would almost be like a death sentence, because they wouldn't know how to fend for themselves and hunt or anything like that.
When we talk about these issues, a question that often comes up is whether or not keeping dolphins in captivity is useful for raising public awareness and increasing scientific knowledge about dolphin biology and conservation. Rob gave us his perspective on the matter.
They're really important for research and they can be fantastic ambassadors for marine conservation. Now, I went to zoos a lot as a child, and that was one of the reasons that I got into wildlife conservation. I spent my life trying to stop the destruction of wild habitat. And that came really from smelling and seeing and being close to wild animals, including dolphins.
We also spoke to award-winning photojournalist and founder of We Animals, Joanne MacArthur, to get her perspective on this question. Joanne has published photographs of marine animals in captivity, including dolphins, in her book called Captive.
I mean, I continue to shoot dolphins in captivity even after Captive came out, most recently in France, actually. You know, what I saw there is what I see worldwide, really, when I go to these places. I mean, these are just sleazy little lagoons. To quote a Swiss lawyer, actually, he said that a few years ago, and I quote him regularly on referring to these places as sleazy lagoons. You know, places of boredom, places where these dolphins are medicated with antidepressants.
Someone can see a dolphin in the daytime at a show that's in full swing, they have a good time and they think everything's fine, but then they can see a photo that Joanne has taken of the same tank on the same day, but which casts a very different light.
They say that zoos and aquaria encourage people to be conservationists, and they absolutely don't. I mean, these are places of entertainment where we might spend 30 seconds looking at each animal. These aren't places that cause us to think critically. And, you know, we all love animals. This is something I look at in my work. You know, we love them, but we don't know how to love them properly. If we really love them, we would just leave them in the wild.
One of the most important things we can do is to educate ourselves about these issues, just like 16-year-old dolphin protection advocate Bailey Mason from Australia. We chatted to Bailey about why he decided to start advocating for animals, and dolphins in particular, at such a young age.
I obviously watched, you know, documentaries like Blackfish and The Cove, and then I was thinking to myself, you know, how about dolphins in captivity here in Australia? You know, is this okay to happen in Australia? You know, I know what's going on in America and in Asia, but how about Australia? And then I kind of researched into it, and I was shocked to know that dolphins were being born into captivity in Australia. I had no idea. I thought that all the dolphins were rescued, but that was obviously not the truth.
Across the world, more and more teens are getting involved in animal protection. We asked Bailey what he thought was so powerful about a young voice.
I think our voice is really powerful because we are the ones that are going to these parks. And if the kids and the teenagers don't want to go to these parks, then these parks will close down. So that's what's really powerful about teenagers and kids turning their backs on dolphins in captivity and seeing them in the wild where they belong.
Although many countries have banned dolphin captivity, there are still thousands captive around the world today, as well as beluga whales, porpoises, orcas, and other marine animals. So, the question for today, what do you think should be the future of dolphin captivity?